Yeah, my name is Derek Hunt. I work for Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in Agassiz, BC. So we're on the west coast, about 2 hours north, 2-3 hours north of Seattle, an hour east of Vancouver. So I'm kind of thinking of this from a completely different viewpoint. I'm not looking at these large-scale models, but I'm thinking, how would an actual producer be using these forecasts for their farm? So we work in a heavy dairy, a very intensive dairy area in southeastern BC. It's highly productive and with valuable crops and high valuable milk production. In general here, the agriculture production is under growing pressure to increase the crop yield, often with limited land, minimize inputs, and almost reduce the environmental footprint to near zero. And there are several tools that producers can use to gain insight into their management. So the soil and tissue testing, which gives them the information for what's going on with the plants and the soil, precision spatial management, remote sensing, there's delayed release nutrient technology to provide better in-season and season-to-season nutrient use, and also in-season applications of fertilizers. So also we feel that we can get some improved crop management by using knowledge tools such as crop soil simulation models. So it can track and predict complex soil processes and crop processes. So as a background, we've developed what we call the NLOS model. It's based on the USDA NLEAP. It's a daily time step, soil, plant, water, nitrogen simulation model. I translated it from Fortran code to an intuitive icon modeling platform called Stella, which is often considered a lightweight number crunching software, which it is, but it's very good to do the design and that in. And now it has the capability to export to the web, so there's much more data crunching power. So we've got it uploaded to the web. We have a beta version that runs. It runs the full model, runs all of the nitrogen processes, and you can put in your data and run it. And as we get improvements, we're uploading it all the time and developing it. It runs, and we do port in real-time weather. So we port in daily weather from Environment Canada and from private grower weather stations. This is a screenshot of the interface. We've gone what I call low budget. So every piece of web software we use is free. So we're using Microsoft .NET platform to integrate with the Export and Stella model. We're using Ajax. We're using SQL database from Microsoft. It's free. So it's light also in terms of the cost we put into it. And we try to keep the interface stripped down. We don't want to make it complex because, I mean, as an earlier speaker mentioned, the farmers are using it, use things for something other than you expected. So we don't have hundreds of people using this. It numbers in a dozen so far. But they want to look at different things. They want different input menus. They want different output menus. They want different use scenarios that we didn't think of. So we're not putting much into the front-end design at the moment because we think we're going to get lots of feedback, and we have to update that as we go along, as it evolves. This is a screenshot of the output. So we have this is, again, a freeware a graphical thing that you can use on the web. I don't know the name of this one in particular, but we've got it where you can customize your own dashboard. So you can output anything. Anything in the model can be outputted. So here we've got an example of nitrate leach, nitrate content of the top layer, and estimates of nitrous oxide production, cumulative nitrate leach to date, and water-filled pore space. But all of the salt nitrogen processes are simulated, so you can also output any kind of graphs of interest. Our objectives are to use this real-time modeling platform to project soil management and forward in time, and use these projections to make in-season nitrogen management decisions, and also to use them in game scenarios, like what if I plant on this day, what if I apply this amount of nitrogen on this date, those sorts of scenarios. And I think that's one thing that's really important is to increase the understanding of the complex soil processes and crop processes that occur in the system. These are some kind of random thoughts I put down. They don't necessarily have any order, but we think the projection begins from today. It's a real-time in-season projection, and they're best the predictions are best on where we are today because we have the current weather. And the good real-time information puts us in the best position to project weekly, monthly, and into the future. And after listening to all the talks today, I know that there's lots of doubt about the accuracy of the climate projections in season as well. But whatever projection we have, it's updated to today. I've kind of struggled a lot as to what kind of weather to use. Do we use site-specific historical data? Use seasonal average data? How do we categorize this data? Do we categorize it into seasons? Do we categorize it into months? And also into take a 6-week from planting day. We're not going to look at a season. We're not going to look at monthly data. So we've also looking at warm decades and cold decades based on historical data, use weather generation software. And the feedback we've got is that the farmers actually like to use a recent season that they remember well, because they can go out in the field, they know what they saw 2 years ago, and they think that may happen this year. It may or may not, but we can put it in as a possible forecast. For this example, a couple of zeros I've got, I'm using the data from Agassiz in BC. It's 123 years of continuous weather recording. And from this box and whisker graph, you can see there's quite a bit of variability in precipitation. We're in a high rainfall area. So we're getting quite variable precipitation over the year and also from season to season and within those months. So as one example of a scenario is the producers ask what will happen to my spring applied in and what happens in a cool, wet spring versus a warm, dry spring. So the example would be for maize silage, for dairy, planting late April through May. Most nitrogen is applied pre-plant, but they also leave the option open to side dress. A common problem is cool, wet springs. Corn looks like it's going to drop dead, or whatever it is. It goes very yellow. And where is the nitrogen? They know the nitrogen's there. Is it in the root zone? Has it been leached out? And should they apply more nitrogen later? So this is just a projection from April 30th this year. It's a 2x2 combination. So we used historical data in this case from that Agassiz location, and we looked at a May-June combination of a wet period or a dry period, and then also into July versus a wet period and a dry period. And when we do the projection, we get the lower yield, this is crop yield, maize silage. We're losing 10 to 15% yield from the kind of the best scenario. And not unexpectedly, it increases nitrate leaching during that period. It doubles it. So this is the model output. I don't have the live version of this on the website. The website uses a 3-day weather projection, and we're using a historical database, which I have on a kind of a side beta version on the server. So it's, but if the blue is what happens to the soil nitrogen in the top foot, the top 30 centimeters, and anyway, I'll try and use the mouse here. So the blue is where the nitrate is there, and it's really leaching down below the root zone right here. And that's what the producer sees sometimes, and then that's when the dilemma comes, where is that nitrogen, and is it going to be picked up later? So this is also a good indicator for people doing the pre-side dress nitrate tests. It'll give them an indication of where the nitrogen is expected to be, and should they be soil sampling deeper to find that. And if we get a dry, it's the red line, which is predicted to be that nitrogen is within the root zone and it's available to the corn. So what a lot of producers do, they intuitively have gamed with this over the years. They know intuitively that if they dump on 250N in the red box there compared to 180, they don't get a yield loss because they're putting on more nitrogen than they really need, and even the wet weather does not leach that nitrogen beyond the root zone, so they see a response. And not unexpectedly, this leads to even greater nitrate leaching through the season. A way to put this out to the producers is we have a combination of the 2x2 wet May-June, wet July-August combinations with two possible end rates that they do. So there's the 180 columns and the 250 columns, and it shows the relative annual leaching of the nitrogen compared to those, as also the relative crop yield that they'll get. And the producers are looking at crop yield, and someone said earlier it's the three things of price, price, price. For these guys, it's the yield because the yield is directly linked to price. But they are, because of the cost of fertilizer, they're asking where is their nitrogen. So they will produce Gehman scenarios, and they'll look at put it on the 180 in the spring, and then also following up with side dress at a lower amount, or split applications. This is one producer we worked with for a couple of years. This is kind of looking at it backwards. The black line is the predicted soil nitrate over those 2 years. And these circles with the error bars are actually, we soil sampled every week through that to see how the model would predict. So it's not bad, but it doesn't obviously it's a model and it doesn't capture all of the variability. And also we know that there's lots of variability from the soil sampling that goes on. But when we came up to the summer application of fertilizer, we showed an option of what would happen if they applied their manure. So the green line is the scenario that if they had applied manure, there would be a lingering effect heading into the fall of the mineralized manure producing soil ammonia, and then that goes to nitrifies to nitrate. So by the time they hit the fall, they've got a higher amount of that green line, which is nitrate in the soil. And then some producers will want to say, well, what if I put on fall applied manure, which is the blue scenario. So we can show that you put on the manure in the fall after you've harvested your crop, and it's going to just leach out of the system. And that's a scenario that they're aware of, but they're not necessarily aware of how quick it occurs. And at these fall leaching events here and through here, that's also important for some of the guys, the fertilizer guys, the people that work with the farmers, to take a fall nitrate test. And it also has implications for how they would plant a cover crop, what cover crop they would try to use. For climate predictions, long-term climate predictions, there's no feedback. Most of the producers are not paying any attention to this. They don't see how it would impact them in the short term. But we can run the model with this climate predictions for our area, which imply we're going to get way drier and slightly warmer summers. So if we can run the scenario starting January, this was April 30th, and then run it for what we consider a one in a hundred dry event, which is what they're predicting more commonly. And you can see in terms of water field pore space, there's going to be implications for long-term irrigation planning. And this projection shows they're going to get 40 to 45% crop losses, reduction in crop yield compared to what they're getting now. So in conclusions, some of the conclusions we can draw from this, the online models make it easy to access and provides immediate status of the soil nitrogen in terms of the forms of nitrogen, where it's located in depth of the soil. And the real time allows constant updating of the end predictions with where the forecasts are updated. And the predictions can be deferred to the last minute as they get a new forecast or new information of some kind. They can then look at that based on the availability of the real-time information. And it also allows Gehman scenarios. And I think this is an important thing. And they can use this with adaptive end management strategy. And the educational benefits, are really important. And as forecast information improves, I think they will be looking more at the improved accuracy of this information. But they now have a better understanding of where the nitrogen is, what forms it's in, and then they learn about where they can go. And we do have a little smartphone app where they can run their field, and then they can see on their smartphone how much nitrogen they think that it predicts they've got in the soil, and they can see where that is. And what we're doing is the real-time simulations can be adjusted. So if a farmer sees that it's at six leaf stage, the model predicts seven, he can dial it back and say, no, the model's wrong, and we want to see a six-leaf phenological stage, and then run the scenario again. So our future plans are to incorporate this site-specific and historical information for a range or a variety of growing periods, and add online usability to design prediction scenarios, and also capture some of this online forecast information, such as the ENSO forecast. Can we just use that? For our area, the ENSO is maybe good for temperature in July, August, but there's not much accuracy beyond that. But it'll at least start to have a way of bringing that in. Okay, thank you.
Ask questions about the accuracy.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah, but since they don't have any soil, yeah, there's no they know the phenological stage. They know that they're it's flowering, and maybe they'll look at that. So, but at the moment they don't have any field data to say whether it's accurate or not.
Oh.
For that field information? No, not at the moment. No, they'll kind of believe us, but they're not. They don't believe these models anyway completely. So they're taking them. They're a tool, and they'll take it into consideration. You know, maybe it's 5-10% of their decision making so far. But if they see more value to it, I think they will start to use it more. But then when they start to use it more, then they'll inquire more about the accuracy. Yeah, so with the online version, we have it. You can upload your data with it, so it puts in the points with your prediction. So there's really only two data points that they'll take a pre-site dress nitrate test, and they'll take a fall nitrate test, and they can see where those two points are. So there's maybe three guys looking at that. They're matching that data in. So.
Good. Any. I think the first paper Peter presented, I think there was a question that whether nitrogen is in profile, is the maximum advantage of the forecasted rainfall kind of thing. Derek, you finished your presentation. I think we have just found those questions, right? What depth the nitrogen is in soil profile kind of thing. So I think in my way of thinking, look, I'm starting with it and your speaker. We didn't use any planning, but it just happened that the questions came, and then the question that was asked, and at least you tried to address where it can be done, how can you do it. And with that comment, I know we're running for 20 minutes behind. We may have to go somewhere else. Thank you very much for all the speakers, all the people that have come, and they appreciate it. Thank you very much.